After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Well, how about that for an exclamation point on a strong preseason showing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto 5, Detroit 0. That's right. An easy 16-save shutout for Frederik Andersen going coast to coast. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick. You can find him on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. And not bad, I would say, for a dress rehearsal to the regular season tonight. I should give a shout-out as well to producer Sam McKee and technical op Vic Palladi, and strong work as per usual. Gord, I think all hands on deck. I think we're all ready for the regular season here.
Oh, we're beyond all ready for the regular season. This was just kind of a nice hockey night in Canada tune-up on a Saturday night. What I like about preseason games at home, Nick, is quite often people that don't get a chance to get tickets during the regular season, some real diehard fans, get to go to preseason games, and quite often they're disappointed at the lineups, you know, who's there. In this case, the Red Wings really brought a pretty strong lineup, and the Maple Leafs had a really strong lineup as well. So it was kind of, it's what you're going to see on Wednesday, by and large, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it was a fun night. The game was over after two periods. We'll talk a lot about it. We'll hear those goals. You know, probably the tough night, one thing being up at the press box, and you chatted with a lot of there's a lot of guys scouts up here. Toronto is a hub for pro scouts. Our buddy Mark Osborne's here. Usually wasn't here tonight, but for the Los Angeles Kings, for example, this would have been a terrible game to pro scout. Mm-hmm. Like, this would be a game you're saying, yeah, Tavares is really good. Matthews is really good. Nylander's really good. Yeah, I know that.
The only thing I was scouting was the ice cream bars, actually.
Well, basically, yeah. The fare up here is very good as far as the snack goes. But, I mean, other games like last night in Detroit, you saw a lot of, you know, guys on the Leaf roster trying to make an impression on that. But this was, hey, boys, let's go and show them what we can do talent-wise.
Yeah, flex your muscles, so to speak. So we'll be with you for the next hour or so. Plenty of post-game reaction coming your way. You'll hear from Mike Babcock ahead of Wednesday night season opener against the Ottawa Senators. Sportsnet writer Luke Fox will drop by a little later on, share his thoughts on this preseason. It was a shaky start to the preseason. Again, anything, you got to preface, it is the preseason. You know, coaches are looking at different players, but the Maple Leafs rattling off four straight wins to finish off the preseason, including three of the four games were shutouts. So, again, to harp on the theme off the top of the program, this team is ready for the regular season. And a big thing we talked about going into this one tonight, Gord, was reps on the power play, 3 for 4. And at times, I thought they were dominating in this one.
Yeah, the good news, preseason two, apparently it is set up that we'll get Mike Babcock at some point as well. We weren't sure about that, so we'll get him live at somewhere. But you're right, it's not just, and almost in the Maple Leafs case, like a number of years ago, the David Booths of the world, the Mason Raymonds of the world, could come and earn a job during training camp, where now they're really, you know, there's a few fights out there, but it's about, yeah, let's get things going. And really, this is the strongest lineup they'd iced. And to see how well they played, especially on the power play, was encouraging. Because there's a number of different things you try to get in a preseason. Red Wings have a few more guys competing for jobs, as will the Ottawa Senators when they come into town. You know, so their training camp's a little bit different. This was a really well-oiled Maple Leaf machine and power play machine we saw tonight.
It is still amazing to me to see this Detroit team not even struggle, but in a rebuild mentality after all those years of execution and being a dominant team and a mainstay in the playoffs. But they're a future team, this Maple Leafs team, in the now. And I think it's a big thing as we look forward here to the regular season, Gord, is the fact that, hey, all the conversation about these RFAs and signing these guys up long term, it's now, so to speak, put up or shut up time for this Maple Leafs team.
Yeah, and you know, boy, the Red Wings, Steve Yzerman was here. It's great to see him back with
still
the Red
Wings. Still handsome
as ever. He's still not the most fun-loving guy. He's very, very personable. Said hello, you chat, but there's not a lot of chuckles about him. But he, on the management side, I know a player agent said Steve Yzerman's flat out the best negotiator. Handling the cap, what he did in Tampa Bay, he seems to have, like Colonel Sanders, the secret herbs and spices about putting a team together. So he's going to get a chance to do that with the Detroit Red Wings. You're right about that. And with the, you know, it's almost like the roles have flipped. The Maple Leafs so often saw the Red Wings as a perennial Stanley Cup contender, a team that always made the playoffs. And now the Toronto Maple Leafs are that team. And you're seeing it takes a while. Like, there's a lot of Red Wing fans. And it's been a while now. They haven't made the playoffs. And they said, well, that's good, because really they were fair to Midland for so long. But, you know, it kind of shows what the Leafs have done in a short period of time to go from the outhouse to the penthouse.
And that's exactly the point I was going to make next, that you're no longer the hunter, but more so the hunted. And you have to have that mentality that you can't take any team lightly. Like when they play Detroit in the regular season, when they play teams that we know unlikely to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have to take care of business, so to speak. And that's why I think Mike Babcock has to be happy with the way his team played in this game, because they know on paper, I mean, in the locker room, they know they're a better team than Detroit, but it's another thing to go out there and execute. Stuff.
Yeah, and you know, absolutely, absolutely. And he's, you know, he'll still have certain favorites there. Freddie Gauthier was out there. Jason Spezza up here in the press box. I mean, I'm not saying that's how it's going to be, but there's those little things that we're battling that way. But otherwise, Alexander Kerfoot, liked the way he played.
Me too.
And, you know, you mentioned the play as well, Nick, about John Tavares, what could have been an odd man rush going the other way for the Red Wings, and him coming back and negated it. The playing a 200-foot game, both sides, from the elite players as well. Like, they outshot the 32-16. I mean, boy, that's not a lot of shots on goal, and there was like one shot in goal the first 10 minutes. It really, you know what? If you're going to be the big boys who are going to be hunted, okay, you got to go out and kick ass all you can. Like, you know, not just whatever. When you're on, you got to be on. And some of these weaker teams that gave the Leafs troubles the last couple of years, that's the next thing that you got to really go and dominate when you can.
And again, I know it's the preseason, but I think from an aspect of the goaltender and Frederik Andersen, that's back-to-back shutouts as he gets set for the Ottawa Senators coming up on Wednesday night. And in these parts, the backup goalie position is always something we love to talk about. Michael Hutchinson, in my opinion, had the preseason he needed to have. We talked about Michael Neuwirth earlier. Didn't go according to plan, I would say, in his PTO and since release from that. But Michael Hutchinson, I'll say this, didn't do anything to lose the job this preseason.
Yeah, you know, there's an element about being inconclusive about it. It is one of the battles out there, and, you know, Curtis McElhinney will always be viewed as the one that got away. Mm-hmm. And actually, next week we'll find out as well if some guys do get claimed on waivers by the trying to send them down for the Toronto Marlies. Of course, last year it was two goaltenders in McElhinney and Pickard, both on the same day. So it's going to be very important who the backup goaltender is. We saw last night a little bit of the future, you know, as far as that went, with Justin Wall playing in Detroit. I really like him. He was drafted the same year as Austin Matthews. Mm-hmm. I liked his personality and his makeup about it, and he could be a very good goaltender.
Got the confidence
down
too.
The road. Yeah, I really did. Really like that. That's kind of a breath of fresh air, what they've needed. But I still think the backup goaltender and a guy that they want to play about 27 games, which is more than other seasons, is a little bit inclusive. But it's Michael Hutchinson's to win. Remember last year he took the slap shot in practice from Nylander and got a concussion just when he had a chance to run with it for a bit.
Yeah, I agree, because I think certainly the key for the Maple Leafs is they probably pretty much know they're going to be a playoff team, but it's more so keeping Frederik Andersen fresh and ready to go when playoff time comes. Inevitably, they play the Boston Bruins in the first round and get to a seventh game, and getting them over that hump, certainly. And you need those starts. And I know I still feel like the backup goalie position is one of the most difficult roles in pro sport, because you're normally thrown in there, your team's tired on the back-to-back, and you have to do a proverbial job for your team. And certainly, I think when you look at this aspect, even right out of the gates on the Friday to start the season, they're in Columbus Nationwide Arena. Who knows what Mike Babcock elects to do. Does he go Frederik Andersen because it's early on in this season? But you need that type of start when your team needs it most, especially sometimes coming off a tough game. You need your backup goalie to rise, and I think you're certainly right, you know, from that perspective. We did see it in this preseason. Teams trying to sneak maybe their number three goalies on waivers. Louis Domingue, we saw that with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that's an aspect to look at. But I think surely in these parts, they will look at guys who are available. And it's nothing against Michael Hutchinson. Again, I think he has done his job and been pretty solid, in my opinion, but you're always looking to get better if you're an executive.
Yeah, and it could be 1 week away. A couple of years ago, Jonathan Quick got hurt in the first week, and all of a sudden, somebody the Kings would have claimed on waivers, they had to make a trade for a week into the season. There will be a banner hoisted here. Hopefully someday it will be another Stanley Cup banner, but it will be an NBA banner. Mm-hmm. Load management is the Maple Leaf sports and entertainment. I mean, that is the phrase we all got to learn last year, courtesy of Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. So it is in place above Freddie Andersen. And I think Mike Babcock's going to say, I really know, I understand, I got a feel. But then you've got these other scientists in their secret laboratories that will start telling him. And don't pick a Canada Day holiday like they did for Vladdy Guerrero on the Jays. wayside. Oh. But just, you know, that kind of thing about, you know, how the ebbs and flows, not just with Freddie Anderson, but some of the other players.
It's funny you bring that up, because just the other day I interviewed Ken Holland from my podcast, Unmuzzled, shameless plug right there. But we talked about load management when it came to Connor McDavid, and he also used the phrase and term when it came to his goaltending situation. I know that's the Oilers, but certainly I think you're right in bringing that up. You want the perfect amount of elixir or games to make sure Frederik Andersen is A, healthy, you know, B, he's got the, you know, proper relaxation and is rearing to go when it matters most in this season. I certainly they're going to strive for that situation.
Well, and the other part is, of course, you want to try to get home ice again in the playoffs to go as deep as you can. So they're no longer a team that's going to fight to make the playoffs in the last week of the season. At least you hope they're not. Mm-hmm. So there is a, if that all goes according to Hoyle, then that's a different way to think about it. You're right. But you also don't want to make you. So you want to get the proper rest. You want to structure. You want to really start kicking butt in game number 83. But also on the other thing, you don't want it to start discounting some of them and costing you a home ice advantage in a particular playoff round. So anyway, it's a fun, different kind of mix, because before it'd be a, hey, are the Leafs going to win the lottery and get first overall? Or, hey, are they going to battle it and try to, you know, get there and maybe come short like Montreal did last season, for example. I mean, those days right now are really in the rearview mirror for the Toronto Maple
no
Leafs.
No doubt about that. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. Preseason fini, so to speak, en français. The Maple Leafs 5, the Detroit Red Wings nothing. We look ahead to the regular season beginning on Wednesday against the Ottawa Senators here inside Scotiabank Arena. Plenty to come, including Luke Fox, as well as some post-game remarks, especially from the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock.
What was taking Babcock so long? Preseason,
I don't know.
You want to be out of here, man.
I know. He's like, let's just do this and get out of here.
He goes back to Detroit quite a bit on Sundays, right? Goes home. So this
maybe
he's
talking to Jeff Blashill.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All those peeps are still there, even though it's been 4 years. Yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts as well on the roster turnover when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs and a couple notable guys that they brought over from the KHL who play that heavy style of game that you wouldn't suspect. Igor Korshkov getting another look here on the fourth line tonight. And Ilya Mikheyev, I'll tell you, for all the hype, and maybe hype's the wrong word, I think he's been pretty much as advertised so far for the Maple Leafs.
Well, Mikheyev, you're talking about. Yeah, I agree with you. And let's keep in mind, I totally agree with you. It's preseason.
Yep. Different animal in the regular
season. Fabian Brunstrom. I know he wasn't Russian, but remember he was the Holy Grail.
Same number as Korshkov, 96, by the way.
And then the other one, Nikita Zaitsev, more close to home. And Nikita Zaitsev, I'm still puzzled why his best year was his first year here. And then, you know, he had two seasons where he kind of went backwards. Of course, the all-time best story recently is Artemi Panarin about, you know, a guy coming over and exploding that way. But I agree with you about how he has looked so far. And it's interesting. Part of it's playing with a good team, right? You're playing with a better team now that all of a sudden when the Leafs get better, there seem to be more of these guys around. You're going, where were they 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. They could have been on the first or second line, no problem, in the P.A. Parenteau era. But where were they 4 years ago? So that's been one of the things. I mean, let's face it, the Leafs are very well aware of him. I think as fans and media and followers, you know, we hadn't seen him. He was a bit of a mystery. And so far, it's been a very, let's say, pleasant surprise. So far, it's been impressive.
He's been steady, no doubt. And I think from a Leafs perspective, how can you not be excited for this upcoming season? They have everybody signed. Everybody, fingers crossed, they're healthy, ready to go for this season. I think Tyson Barrie looked really solid on the back end, especially when you have the luxury, and you brought this up earlier, having a guy who's ran a power play in a place like Colorado with names like McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, who just re-signed tonight, by the way. But when you have the luxury of having a guy like Tyson Barrie headline your second power play unit, that's going to be a, you know, something to watch for and monitor going forward. I don't think the Leafs are going to have an issue offensively this season. I think defensively is always the key you're going to look at from a Mike Babcock squad, and I'm curious to see sort of the matchup game as the season progresses for him.
Well, the guys that were here before were always kidding that I was Jake Gardner's uncle or surrogate brother, because I was always big on Jake,
despite the
boos that would come from time to time. And that goes with being, you know, around a team a long time and the team having some struggles early on. And hey, when Jake, as I said, Jake was the greatest love story. When it was good, it was great. When it was bad, it really was bad.
Ooh.
But he'll, I'm happy he's found a spot in Carolina. But he did, I thought, along with Morgan Riley, they did a decent job on the power plays. But you're right about Tyson Barrie. That's a real strength that he's going to bring to the team. And, you know, last year, Nick was doing the games with Mark Savard, and we're getting ready for the pregame show. There was such a buzz here. And I was talking to Savvy during the pregame show, and I said, this arena, was it loud when you played? He goes, no, it wasn't very loud. I said, man, he goes, yeah, this is really, and there was this real energy after the John Tavares signing and that kind of excitement and all the young players, you know, coming into fruition. And the Leafs, actually, their first two games weren't very good last year. They game number three in Chicago was when they were losing, switched goaltenders, Garrett Sparks, that's kind of where it all started. Mm-hmm. And then also Austin Matthews going, you know, tête-à-tête with Patrick Kane. They were going to be 0-3 early on, or looked like they might
forgot be. Forgot about that, yeah.
So they really were ready to go and didn't. So now I think on Wednesday they want to get started in game number one, not really in game number three.
I'll put you on a spot. When Mark Savard returns now as a member of the St. Louis Blues bench,
October 7th.
He does know the day.
It's soon. It's the only game, yeah. Blues game this year.
Will he shed a tear when they put the spotlight and they give him the tribute video working with that pretty face?
The video tribute for Mark Savard.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, the picture of him waving the Bruin flag last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think that would play well.
We're not supposed to talk
tribute.
About that.
But I would give Mark Savard any kind of tributes. And you know, it's funny, we did the games last year, mm-hmm. and he was close with a lot of players, but I was really surprised how tight he was with Craig Berube. And they went back to their Calgary Flame days, you know, only played a couple seasons. And so, wouldn't you know it, when Craig Berube got a chance after winning a Stanley Cup to hire an assistant to basically replace the assistant coach Craig Berube, who'd moved up mid-season, it was savvy. So yeah, so we wish him all the best that way. But we'll do a radio tribute or something like that when they're
we
back.
Will.
It'll be interesting to catch up how he is doing.
And so we get set for the beginning of the 19-20 regular season, and we await word as well on Mike Babcock. Maybe he's just flown and said, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody tonight.
What else can you say? He's saying, hey.
What do you say after a 5-0
win? Yeah, I'm just a little. So anyway, we will get him one way or another, and then Luke Fox will join us right after Mike Babcock speaks. Whether
you never know.
Get him. Oh, here we go. Here's Mike Babcock. I guess we're carrying.
I guess we don't have
idle
Mike
chatter.
Babcock.
At least we know it's set up for him to come.
It sounded like a water was being thrown down on the table.
It sounds like a lot of guys are wondering what's the holdup.
Maybe he's doesn't he do a workout after the game on the bike?
I don't. Well, he likes to look like he always did a run or
just
workout.
Like wet hair.
I have seen him running around the building, yeah. So I'm not saying he doesn't do it.
The Gord Stellick special, a little wet hair to know.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right. Yeah. But anyway, just kind of you think, man, let's get this sucker over with. It's a nice game tonight. Let's get preseason over with and. Just get at it for the regular season.
The first three games on the regular season docket for the Maple Leafs: Wednesday, Ottawa, at Columbus on Friday night. So a back-to-back to start here next weekend. They host the Montreal Canadiens. And I think it's of vast importance, even coming up on Wednesday, Gord, just the fact that you look at a team like Ottawa, an inferior opponent for sure, but there's a lot. I like the term revenge game. Mm-hmm. On both sides, there are guys who are playing their former teams, and I think that's going to add to the emotion of opening night. This place is going to be buzzing for sure.
Well, opening night just in general, it really
it's
would
exciting.
Be. But DJ Smith and Nikita Zaitsev and Connor Brown and, you know, just Ron Hainsey. I mean, a really, really respected guy with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So in Nikita Zaitsev's case, something had to happen there. They agreed that they would. I still don't understand what exactly happened.
Tonight's game may be a Babcock. Good indication that your club has come through this relatively well and you're set to go Wednesday night.
Well, we're healthy, so I think that's important, besides obviously Dermy and Himes. You know, I thought we made some progress during exhibition, if nothing more than just get to know the players and get to handle the bench and understand how to use certain guys. Learn a lot more about Barry and Cease and Kerfoot and Mikheyev and Korshkov and all the people we've never seen before. You know, it's time to get at her.
What have you learned about the organization's depth in this camp?
Well, I think what I've learned is, you know, some real good additions, obviously, this summer, and the fact that, you know, Mikheyev, I think, has a chance. He looks like a real hockey player. The trades we made are back end. Ideally, we can take a step on the back end. I think the growth of a guy like Sandin is real. Morrissey looks like a hockey player now, which is positive. I think Goat's way better. That's positive. All the main pieces that you've been thinking are good for a long time are way better. So that's positive, too, and more confident. You know, I mean, we're like every team. There's 31 teams. We all got hope right now.
You were talking about the power play this morning and I like seeing the puck go in the net. Happened with both units tonight. Satisfied, at least with this going forward in the win tonight.
Well, I think what I talked about is there's some things we had to do better, but there was lots of really good things about it. And so it's just a matter of time. I think we got a good scheme. I think we got good players. And so ideally it'll work. Sometimes it doesn't go as good as you want. You just got to keep doing good things and it'll happen. I thought we had good tenacity tonight. You know, our group last night had unbelievable tenacity, and we asked this group to do the same. I thought we did a pretty good job.
What are your thoughts on Justin Hall and his chances of sticking in the NHL?
Yeah, what we got basically is we got about 10 guys there. You know, we got four, like Sandy, and then we got to figure out what we're going to do. So we're just in there doing that right now and grinding away and debating. The good thing about it is, I mean, we got a new person running the back in Hack. That was a minor league D-man that's been a head coach in the NHL that didn't have an opinion on any guy. So to think any of your past is affecting what's going on here, it's not. It's what you've done here. Now, the other thing that happens is, the great thing about it with waivers, with Marlies, is you still have recourse. So you try to make the best decision you can and go from there.
Austin was saying it seems like camp's been a month long. He is not the hot. Looking ahead, you guys have anything about getting down to six next year, games-wise, do you think? Or?
Well, the problem is that our big guys are playing the same amount of games. He played four games, right? So then the guys that you're given a chance to try out don't get as good a tryout. So it's easy to say you want to do that. The trainers and the coaches are going to each one. Players are only going to four. So, and they're going to four whether we have six or eight or ten. So.
There you have it. Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And as you predicted, he wanted to get out.
We said they're in the dressing room discussing, and maybe that is a more spirited discussion. Dave Haxtell, the assistant coach, he mentioned, without prejudice, having been elsewhere the last number of years.
He listed his resume out.
Yes, he did. So anyway, we'll see what gives about next year's. I guess the big guns will always play four games, but they should reduce. I mean, Austin Matthews echoing what we feel and the fans feel. It's just too long. And maybe the next CBA, that's something the players can get, you know, just a little bit of reduction. That's what they've done in the past. The NFL did that in a big way about things, that it's not just monetary things.
It's a lot of factors, though, too, losing that money at the gate as well if you're a team, right? So,
well, you share with the players now, too, because it was before that it was strictly a cash grab for the teams, right? Mm-hmm. And they made money or took all the revenues, and the players made basically nothing in preseason. So, anyway.
So the Maple Leafs wrapping up the preseason with a 5-0 victory against the Detroit Red Wings. And among that conversation before we hit the break here, who's going to make the team? And he referenced it multiple times. He has every time Rasmus Sandin plays. And he didn't even play tonight. He played last night over 30 minutes. I thought he was so steady once again. And
Load management tonight.
Exactly. Yes. The guy played a ton yesterday. But I think when you look at that perspective, certainly Rasmus Sandin has the inner track to make this team as they discuss this tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. He would be the one, I think, automatic, and it's really on the blue line important. And, of course, I know we're going to chat with Luke, who's followed on a daily basis as well.
Let's bring in right now Sportsnet writer Luke Fox, and I'm sure you're going to echo those sentiments, Luke, that Rasmus Sandin, at least to start, will be a Maple Leaf, no?
I think absolutely. I just asked Mike Babcock about what he thought about Justin Hall and some of the NHL D-men on the bubble here for the Maple Leafs' final cut. And he said, well, we got four and then Sandin. So basically, he said that those are your top five right there. He basically confirmed that Sandin's going to be on the team. And the rest, they're going to discuss. You know, I think most people think Marincin has a good shot because he's been a Babcock guy for a while and because he kills penalties, which is, you know, of need for this bottom pairing. We know guys like Ben Harper already got put on waivers today. So, you know, I think Kevin Gravel has a chance. He says Hall has a chance. And basically he's going to sit down with the other coaches and Kyle Dubas and the staff, and they're going to pick another couple of defensemen to go with Sandin. But he's going to be on the team for sure. And he's been absolutely phenomenal. You could argue that he could even crack the top four if it was based purely on merit the past 2 weeks.
No, and that's been a real positive thing, Luke, as you mentioned. I was saying earlier to Nick that tonight's game, and it was kind of a nice way to finish, have your regulars play, have a Saturday night at home. But if you were one of the many professional scouts here, you're basically got nothing out of the game. You're kind of saying, yeah, Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, you know, guys were never going to get. It was neat to see the dominant of the dominant players for the Maple Leafs and the power play. I know it's preseason, but it was nice to see that well-oiled machine of the regulars.
Yeah, the power play and the penalty kill. I mean, they've been perfect on the penalty kill in the two games where they've played the regulars. And they've been, I think, around 50% on the power play. So the special teams are just clicking. And anyone who remembers how they went out last spring, that was a bit of a sore point, both the power play and the penalty kill. So it's nice to see those in shape heading into Wednesday. And all your scorers are scoring, you know. Willie Nylander's been all around it, and he finally got his first of the preseason tonight, and it was an absolute snipe. The ref had to go back and look at some tape just to make sure it went in, because it went in and out so fast. And so, you know, Tavares has a bunch of goals. Matthews has 5 goals in 4 preseason games. You know, everyone's, all the big names are contributing. So they're entering the season feeling pretty good about themselves. And then Freddie Anderson hasn't allowed a goal in 9 periods of exhibition action. So there's not a lot of holes right now. And considering that they're down Hyman and Dermott, two of their regulars with fairly long-term injuries still, this is a lot. This is about as positive as you would want to see from the on-ice version of the Maple Leafs of this camp.
I don't know why you said just on ice there. It's Luke Fox on the line, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. Speaking about goaltending, we know Frederik Andersen's going to do his thing, and he's been solid and steady here in the preseason. But what happens, in your opinion, with respect to the backup goalie position?
Well, I think they're going to keep an eye on the waiver wire 100%. You know, the mere fact that they brought in an injured goaltender in Michael Neuwirth to try and push Michael Hutchison is a strong indication that they're not 100% satisfied with their goaltending depth. I think they, you know, in a perfect world, they'd like to have another guy they can trust that's down in the Marlies in event of injury or, you know, a slump. You know, Michael Hutchison, I think, will be fine, and he's definitely endeared himself to the group. You know, it's kind of interesting that him and Freddie kind of bonded a little bit over the summer, went and played some golf together, and, you know, had been texting back and forth. And he's slowly kind of acclimatized himself to the group, and he's got it in his head that he is a backup in this league. He's never going to be a starter, and he's kind of accepted that he's going to get the crappy, you know, second game of the back-to-backs and maybe sit for 3 weeks between starts. And he's accepted that. So I think he'll be fine. But organizationally, I think the club is still going to keep an eye on the waiver wire, or, you know, be open to the possibility of minor trade to try and strengthen the depth they have at that position.
Now, Luke, you did ask about Justin Hall, like you said, and you mentioned about Rasmus Sandin. That seems to be a lock. We also don't know how many extra players, if there's cap implications as well, maybe they'll carry fewer players. I don't know. But start of the year, because of waiver implications, they might carry the 23. So who do you think is here to stay, and who do you think, like, of the sort of the guys on the bubble, who do you think is going to get the nod, and who do you get a feeling is going to be attempted to be put down on waivers?
Well, yeah, it's going to be some tough decisions. And, you know, Babcock kind of warned that even the decisions they make for Wednesday, when they have to have their final roster and be cap compliant by Tuesday afternoon, even those decisions aren't final. You know, he'll probably use the first 10 games to maybe correct some things, and they can always call someone back up. But my guess would be Marincin in that number 6 spot on the D pairing. And I think Korshkov was fine. You know, I don't know. That one's kind of a toss-up. You know, Nick Batan certainly is making a bit of a case for himself. Nick Shore looked fine tonight. You know, Mikheyev is an absolute lock, but I think it's just that one extra winger spot on the fourth line that they need to fill. I think the fourth line will have Spezza, Gauthier, and question mark. You know, I kind of wouldn't mind seeing a guy like Korshkov, just because he has come up through the Marlies and has been part of the system Babcock's also spoken pretty highly of Matt Reed, so maybe he makes a case. It'll be interesting to find out. That's kind of the one big question mark, I think, that, that's been left to answer. And even when they do decide on a guy, there's no guarantee that that spot's locked up. But Trevor Moore was a guy that Babcock kind of had. He wasn't sure if he was going to play on third line or fourth line, but I think he proved tonight that he belongs on the third line. He scored another goal, and he had three in the preseason, including that beautiful shorthanded snipe tonight. So I think Trevor Moore moves up the lineup, and there's that one fringe winger spot that could be in flux most of the season. And I could see the Leafs doing a lot of, you know, up and down moves in recalling a player and sending him back down just because they have the luxury of having the Marlies right here in town, and they're so tight to the cap, and they want to accumulate as much cap space as they possibly can throughout the season. And they're not the only team doing that. I know Calgary is in the same boat, you know, with the cap not going up as much as these GMs had hoped. There's going to be a few teams doing constant sending guys down and calling that back up just to save a day's cap space.
Lastly, the other big question, between now and Wednesday, will Martin Marincin be named the captain of the Maple Leafs? What are your thoughts on that? Do we find out who the captain is in the next couple of days? Why are we laughing?
We are going to find out. I'm not the only one who said this, but I think it would be really cool if they don't fire off an email press release and have a little stiff press conference, you know, Monday or Tuesday. I'd rather just on opening night see John Tavares or whoever it is just come out with a spotlight on them when they introduce them, and he just happens to have a C on his crest, and just kind of let the fans react and see what happens that way, as opposed to finding out via a tweet.
No faith in Marincin, I guess. Luke, thanks so much for this. Appreciate your strong work here in the preseason. On behalf of all media, we are pumped and ready to go for the regular season. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I can't wait for the real thing. All right, have a good night, guys.
You as well. There's Sportsnet's Luke Fox. And before we hit the break, got to ask you the question. The captain, do we find out in the next couple days here?
They said you do. They said we do.
And before Christmas.
So it's interesting. I worked for when Harold Ballard wanted Roger Neilson to come back with a bag over his head behind the Leaf bench after he'd rehired him. So I think Harold maybe is smiling about Luke's suggestion. So I believe it'll be John Tavares. I believe, like Brian Burke said, that it was decided before all the Austin Matthews situations a couple of days ago. So if you're going to name a captain, he'll have to be in place before game one.
Just unfortunate. I do agree. What do we talk about after when they name a captain? Because it's been a big topic of conversation, including contract talks the last couple of years. That said, we'll hit the break. Maple Leafs 5, Detroit Red Wings nothing here in the preseason finale. Onwards and upwards to the regular season we go. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, and you're listening to Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back inside Scotiabank Arena. The NHL preseason now finished, I think, for the Toronto Maple Leafs at least, and we look forward to Wednesday night's opener against the visiting Ottawa Senators. Toronto 5, Detroit nothing here in the preseason finale. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. I'll recap in a second what took place in that domination tonight, but first and foremost, some news away from Toronto on this Saturday night. Kyle Connor signs a 7-year deal, Gord, at 7.14 AAV. What do you think of that?
And by the way, Joe Bowen was not in preseason form. He's in regular season form,
always.
So we'll look forward to hear his calls. Yeah, we'll talk about the two big contracts. I said, what a funny amount, 714. I always remember that as Babe Ruth's career home run total. But
you were born in the Ruth era, right?
I was born in the I ate the Baby Ruth chocolate bars, so that might be about it. But it different than Patrick Laine. It's funny. We've had a mixed bag of the bridge contracts, and he had the smallest of bridges, the two-year deal, did Patrick Laine. And Kyle Connor always wanted to make a commitment there. Some people may think he got, say, less, but at 7.14, but I think he was held a little bit differently in stature than Laine and Rantanen and Mitch Marner, and so they'd wanted to go long term. And for the Winnipeg Jets, who disappointing playoff loss, and you know, a lot of blue line players gone, it's going to be tough for them to get back to where they were, one of those Stanley Cup favorites. They were my Stanley Cup favorite last year, but it's good they get these two guys in the fold. And 2 years down the road, you'll know a lot more about Patrick Laine, but now Kyle Connor joins Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler and others that are locked up for a bit.
It really is incredible that a year at this time we were conversing on different airwaves, but from a Winnipeg perspective, it was more about, okay, we'll get Patrick Laine done, and then we'll think about Kyle Connor. It's amazing the perception how quickly it can change. In the rough year, I know Laine still ends with, you know, 30 goals or so, but the fact that he scored 18 all in November, and then he had his issues outside of November, and the consistency that Kyle Connor has shown the last couple of years in being a prolific 30-30 guy didn't go unnoticed, of course, and he gets a term in a 7-year contract. Certainly Winnipeg, I think you're totally right. Like, Winnipeg's a team a lot of people are snoozing on right now. I know they still don't know what's going to happen with Dustin Byfuglien, but you look up and down that lineup, yeah, it's a bit of a different team on the back end. Connor Hellebuyck, I think, is in store for a bounce-back season. I mean, there's a reason why they paid him that money. He's still relatively young, and they got some guys who can move up and down that roster, guys like Ehlers and Wheeler, and Mark Scheifele maybe have the best contract outside of Nathan MacKinnon in hockey right now. So don't sleep on the Winnipeg Jets. I agree.
Yeah, and Barkov, too, has one of those kind of contracts. Yep. You know, and by the way, Clayton Keller and Thomas Chabot already re-upping a year in advance, so maybe we're not going to see. Like, it's funny, all these guys chose not to re-up a year early,
together.
Like Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel had done previous draft. So it may be different next year, the landscape about RFAs that are out there.
The summer of Barzal is what I'm calling next summer, by the way.
Well, so, there's not too many of them. There's Barzal, Pierre-Luc Dubois,
yeah.
Sergachev. There's not very many.
So 6 times 9.25 for Mikko Rantanen, by the way, and there has been the comparable as well with the Mitch Marner contract. So make of that what you will. I don't know about you. I'm so tired of talking about the Marner contract. So can we move on?
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm ecstatic not to be talking about it.
We talked about it all last year. Yeah.
And interesting in this case, one thing teams like Colorado and Winnipeg were fighting, the Maple Leaf contracts for Nylander, Matthews, and Marner included a lot of upfront money. And also with Matthews, they'd gone to the 5-year term. Well, they got 6 for Marner. In these cases, the team's got the term, and there's no signing bonus money. It's just straight money. It's a lot of money, but it's just straight money. So they were able to get it back into their wheelhouse so they feel comfortable. So hey, the Colorado Avalanche, they could be the Stanley Cup representative from the Western Conference rather than the Winnipeg Jets, who weren't last year, but were my pick.
Of course, Colorado has that number 91 that Maple Leafs fans might know better as number 43, but Nazem Kadri anchoring that second line. That's the important thing for Colorado going forward. We know their top line, what they can do, secondary scoring, a big mystery, and I think adding Nazem Kadri is certainly going to help. I think that trade's, quite frankly, going to help both teams. But let's get to the highlights before we hear some post-game remarks and get out of here and get you set for the regular season. We'll start early on in this one. You could tell from the get-go the Maple Leafs are going to be the better team in this game, and Austin Matthews, he's absolute money.
And it is cleared, then stolen. Here's a chance for Matthews, and it goes on, a shot, scores! What a pass! Gudson is the finisher, but what a pass from Austin Matthews!
The dulcet tones of Joe Bowen right there, Andreas Johnsson, the beneficiary of just an unbelievable play, A, by Austin Matthews to bat down the clearing pass, I believe, from Dylan Larkin. Then he finds Andreas Johnsson on the mini 2-on-1, 1-0 Maple Leafs.
Well, and Austin Matthews is the guy that we used to see firing the puck, and I think Jimmy Howard thought that would be the case, and instead he made the, as you say, the prolific playmaker play. Johnsson had to have pretty good hands because it was in tight, and that's just 29 seconds in the game. So, and the Leafs dominated from the first few minutes. It looked like it was going to be, well, it was a 5-0 game eventually, but it looked like it was going to be a 10-0 game the first few minutes.
The shots 13-5 in favor of the Maple Leafs after one and in the second. This game got out of hand in a hurry, and again, I think teams learned the last couple of years you can't give this Maple Leafs team power play opportunities. They made them pay. But first, it was Detroit on the power play, and it's a veteran with a big-time mistake. It was a goal from Trevor Moore, shorthanded all the way from the Leafs blue line, and it was Mike Green, the costly error. And this is probably not a mistake you want a veteran making.
No.
Going cross
pretty solid
there.
Power play player as well. You're right, Mike Green. And Philip Ronick was the other. He almost caught. He almost caught Trevor Moore. Good on Moore that he knew they're coming, had the presence of mind on the breakaway to pick the spot. And you know something, shorthanded goals are killers. And this totally changed the whole momentum about the game, because after that, the Toronto Maple Leafs just went crazy on the power play.
They did, and certainly so. Moore scores the goal there unassisted to make it a 2-0 game, and I mentioned after that power play opportunities aplenty, as you just referenced. Do we have those goals, by the way, boys? We do?
Yeah.
We have those goals. So it's a 2-0 score at that point. After that, the Leafs power play going to work starting at 8:45 there in the second period.
Nylander, top of the circle, right wing side, closes in, took a shot, rattled it off.
Well, they're gonna call it a goal.
I thought it was the post, but
it might have been the back post, inside post, back post, and out. But this is an absolute laser. And that's
official now, mister. That's the goal horn, Mr. Ralph. That's the goal horn, and they don't blow that unless it's a goal.
It is preseason for everyone, and I would say like Sam McKee in Beer League Hockey, what a snipe there from William Nylander. That they need a lot of that this year after his tough year last year.
Yeah, you know, and it's, again, I reiterate how well they played in the World Championship. So he did finish up with Team Sweden on a positive note after a dismal season with the Maple Leafs. Yeah, these are the Austin Matthews shots, and it's great to see it from William Nylander and from Barry and Kerfoot. And the strange thing was they score in the power play, and then there's a protest by the Detroit Red Wings, right? They call for a review, and we're saying, wow, because it was so long since they took the zone. They called for a review of the offside, and they're wrong. And the penalty, the change this year was that would be a timeout that you would lose. Now it's a minor penalty. And by the way, if you do it a second time and you're wrong, it's a double minor penalty. So Leafs score on the power play, and they go back on the power play.
I think Claude Julien could tell you a thing or two about the challenge there. So it was 4-0 Leafs after this one.
Back to the point, Riley, dished off near side, Matthews, a shot, scores! Another power play goal, and it's 4-0.
Just another one of those Austin Matthews-type shots that we've seen early on in his NHL career. This didn't go barring in, but it went five-hole, exactly where he pinpointed this shot to go. And most goalies are waiting for their gloves or blockers to fly, but going five-hole, a shot from there, that's absolute precision. And a big reason why, Gord, I feel Matthews could be easy for 40 goals this season. He's outstanding.
Yeah, well, Luke Fox mentioned 5 goals in 4 preseason games. This is what Jimmy Howard thought in the first period he was going to do, and he just took it, decided if Willie Nylander's going to show me up, I'm going to show him who the master is.
That was a great shot. So 4-0 at that point, and it continued after that. About 7 minutes later, Detroit getting another penalty, sets up another Leafs power play, and Austin Matthews again, theme of the night, going to work.
Another chance and a shot, deflected in on goal, Tavares hammering at it, puck is still free, comes back to the blue line, Barry to Matthews, makes a move in front, they score! Holy mackerel, what a pass! Tavares makes it 5-0.
Definitely right there, not Sam McKee in Beer League Hockey with a little toe drag, how's she going? And then a move over to Tavares, and just a great finish there for John Tavares. So suffice to say, the Leafs power play got some much-needed work in tonight, and they struck 3 times, 3 for 4 in this one.
Yeah, and, you know, for Sam, it's only preseason as well. We think in midseason form. But
I don't think so. But
it's the silky hands of Austin Matthews, the playmaking hands that we've seen. He got the one goal of his own and another nice play, and again, John Tavares, it was just fun. It was like having a fun Friday night playing shinny, a bunch of guys, and everything's going your way. And a little razzle-dazzle in the second period. Tyson Barry getting the other assist to your point about the power play and working along with Morgan Riley, one of the quarterbacks for their power play for the upcoming season.
So there you have it, a 5-0 Leafs final here in the preseason finale. Again, it's Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick. We get set now for the regular season. Some more post-game remarks right now. We're going to start with number 34, Austin Matthews.
Put a ribbon on this entire preseason and just maybe look at the last few games as clubs come together defensively and obviously got the goals when they needed it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the goal of preseason, just to kind of build off of every game, and you just try to feel better and better about yourself and just physically each and every game. So, you know, it's like you said, it's nice to, you know, close it out like this and play the way we did and, you know, and kind of capitalize on different in different ways. Power play, penalty kill was solid, and then 5-on-5, we did a pretty solid job too. So I don't think there's really much you can ask for heading into the season.
What allowed the power play to work so well today?
I think you just competed. I thought all guys worked hard, especially you know, Johnny down low. Just getting pucks back, shooting it, getting it back, and you know, when you shoot the puck a couple times, get them spread out, I think our score just kind of takes over, and you know, we just make plays. So you know, like I said, it's nice to maybe get a couple on the power play here heading into the regular season.
That backhand feed of yours to John, was it a little off the ice? I mean, was it just a terrific athletic play by him?
It wasn't a little off the ice. Yeah. I think I put like a foot off, and I don't know. I mean, I didn't really have like on the ice an on ice pass, so I just threw it there, and I figured, I mean, he's good enough to knock it out of the air and test his hand eye a little bit. So it was a nice play by him, but just a, kind of a lucky throw in, and then obviously a nice putback.
How dialed in have you found Freddie to be in camp?
I mean, what has he got, like a .001 goals against average this preseason? I'd say that's not bad. So, I mean, you know, he's been great, especially in the first couple games. I thought, you know, defensively we were a little bit loose. I mean, tonight we were a lot better. Not too many shots on goal for them, but, I mean, when he came up with some big saves and they had great chances. So, I mean, he looks obviously looks pretty solid.
What's the feeling now, top to bottom, obviously, when you're Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think everybody's excited. I mean, preseason feels like it's a month, 2 months long, so it's just nice to get it over with and you know, start the real thing.
What do you like about how you, William, and Andreas have come together in the preseason?
I think we've been good. I thought, you know, when we were skating and working hard, same thing on the power play, when we just compete, you know, our score just takes over. We create space for one another and support each other, and we just try to have fun out there and create chances. I mean, we want to play offense, so when we're dialed in defensively, we have to puck much more, and we just let our instincts kind of take over.
Now that you've played two games with kind of what's going to be the core group, what's the biggest difference you've noticed from this roster compared to this time last year?
I mean, it's just kind of tough to tell. It's still just a couple preseason games, right? So, I mean, I think the beginning of the, you know, starting Wednesday, that first month will be important for us to kind of really mesh together, you know, and dial things in. I mean, it's going to be a different, it's just a different thing than the preseason, the regular season, and then, you know, that first month, guys are, you know, teams are still trying to figure it out, but I think the quicker we kind of come together as a team and, you know, defensively and our structure and get that all dialed in, the better we'll be off.
As you saw tonight, what does it mean to have two power play units clicking?
It means a lot. I mean, we've got plenty of skill and lots of guys that can put the puck in and then make plays all around. So when you get a couple different looks and a couple goals off of, you know, each unit, I think it definitely gives us an advantage, and it makes it tough on the penalty kill.
There you have it, Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs. A huge night for him in Toronto. A 5-0 win here in the preseason finale, getting set for Wednesday's season opener. But you look at the last week in general for Austin Matthews. What do you think is the key here for him to sort of move on?
Well, it's funny you said about trying to figure it out. I think they figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all these guys. You know, last year, because of the Nylander situation, we talked about all three guys.
Yeah.
John Tavares was the big story before game number one, and then very quickly, they became rock stars, mm-hmm. Marner and Austin Matthews again. And that's the great part. So they've got that part figured out. That's big, the contracts. And it's not a distraction. So now the next part, get to the next level. He had a little bite, little physicality with the Kaiser at the end there. He got a little ticked. And I don't ever want him fighting or whatever. He goes, geez, he should have a fight. How'd that work for Connor McDavid? That element about being physical a little bit more, the grit part, whatever, all the team can use that to some degree. But you believe Matthews, Marner have another level, even though they've shown so great so far. And Nylander, you hope he has a couple levels that we saw glimpses of 2 years ago.
And so, Gord, we get set for the opener coming up on Wednesday night at home to DJ Smith's Ottawa Senators. Some video tributes could be in store in that game with Connor Brown, and I don't know if Zaitsev's going to get one, but it's definitely going to have an emotional flair and feel. Cody Ceci.
Yeah, the video tribute thing.
It's a bit
funny.
Much these days in the NHL world. You know
it's,
that.
It's gotten, yeah.
Excessive.
It's gotten a little excessive, but it's certainly Connor Brown. Like, he was symbolic, a 20-goal scorer.
He'll get one.
Local kid.
Yep.
Really, really well-liked. He's there for cap reasons. And Ron Hainsey, like a real, like, valued underdog type guy, leadership guy. When that tragedy happened in Toronto, he became, even though he's an American guy, became the spokesman about the city, about how it hurt and the team, that, you know, playoff game against the Boston Bruins. I mean, Ron Hainsey was kind of the vocal leader that way. So, yeah, I'll like their tributes. And maybe Zaitsev just leave it. You're right.
Yeah.
He wanted out.
Yeah, it's a bit much because then, like, half the Ottawa Senators. Now, Tyler Ennis, we forgot about, had a pretty decent year last year, showed himself a bit.
That's another one, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it really is crazy how many different guys there are on the respective rosters. But certainly – We're excited. We're looking forward to the opener coming up on Wednesday night. Be sure to join us as well for Leafs Nation postgame following that one. We'll
absolutely
have the action of that one between the Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. Thank you to Josh Santos back at Master Control. Producer Sam McKean is Austin Matthews-esque mustache here on location. Tech op extraordinaire Vic Palladian, you're the absolute man. And Gord Stelic, you're not too bad to work with.
Well, sounds good. A lot of fun, Nick. Looking forward to Wednesday. Like I said, we'll be on for Leafs Nation postgame enjoying the opening game.
It starts for real, folks. For Gord Stelic, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Take care.